Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. I am so thankful that God is a good God, that He supplies and that He ministers. God, I just pray right now that You will minister. At that last worship song, that no one else can worship for me. I've got to worship You myself, Lord. That also applies to gratitude, Father, that all of us, Lord, individually are grateful for all the things that You have done. And I'm so grateful for this church. I'm grateful for those who attend this church, those who call this church home. Father, for those who might be here for the first time, God, I'm just grateful, Lord, that they took the opportunity to come here today, Father. We're just thankful for the opportunity that we have to minister. We are thankful, Father, always for the gift of salvation. We're thankful, Lord, that You came and died for our sins so that we might have life. And not only that, God, You make us part of the journey. You make us part of Your desire to put Your kingdom forward, Father. And so, Lord, as we think of the offering, as we think, Lord, of those who have given, Lord, we're just appreciative, Father, for all that You've done and supplying the jobs and supplying the economy. And Lord, we just pray that You'll minister to each and every person today. Allow the presence of the Holy Spirit to move deeply in our lives, we ask, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I don't want to have anything superficial, do you? We want to be genuinely serving Jesus. If I could just take a couple of minutes to thank everyone who has helped out over the last number of months, and in the process of meeting together, it seems like you have to work almost twice as hard to be able to minister to people. And so there are people who come early, and because they've got to lead worship twice, they've got to get here earlier, and they come on Thursday to practice, and you have people who help check us in and help people to usher so that we're doing things in a fashionable way, which glorifies the Lord. We have had to learn to become versatile and try and figure out things on a week-to-week basis. And so on Tuesday, we get together as a staff and we figure, okay, so how have things changed and what do we have to change and how do we minister effectively in the process of that? And so when we have the reports, Pastor Charles is the one who deciphers everything that the government is telling us. That way we have one person who is able to do that. He works in conjunction with Leanne, who makes sure that we have a clean building and that as we get operational even more in the fall, that we'll be able to have the rooms. And we have Betty Amaya, who is now our new church caretaker, and she's doing a great job. And Pastor Glenn is in there. He takes care of everything having to do with the service. Now, if you're going to be visited in the hospital, it's probably going to be Pastor Glenn because he's got the one who has the COVID-19 okay from the hospital. I'm in process of that. Everybody is doing everything to minister effectively. And so if there's anything having to do with counseling or anything having to do with issues, then we all as a staff are working together. Amanda, who was doing our reception, is now working halftime to help Pastor Charles, who is trying to do everything on social media to make sure that you guys know everything is taking place. And it's slowly going ahead. But it may change, and we may have to change things again. But you know what? I'm willing to do that to be able to minister to everyone here. And I'm hoping that somehow we will make a difference. I know that we have to social distance, but we don't have to distance ourselves socially. What we're wanting to do is to somehow make a difference in everyone's life. And so if you know people, and if maybe you are here during the live feed and you're trying to figure everything out, we are here for you. We want to make a difference. And I just wanted to make sure that you knew that. I wanted to make sure that somehow we are trying to figure things out. I've heard so many things during COVID-19. Well, COVID-19 means that God is going to be breaking out and doing something new. COVID-19 means that the church is going to be declining. COVID-19 says that God is going to move in the midst of that. I've heard so many different things. But as I sit and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, one thing that has become abundantly clear to me is that God is calling us to a time of intimacy during COVID-19. And that's important because the idea is not to hold your breath. The idea is not to hang on. The idea is to get as close to Jesus as you possibly can in this time while we have this extra time, because we're going to need that intimate relationship for the next step, whatever step that might be. Amen? So I believe in listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God wants to do and say something rich and full for us today. And I feel very strongly. I feel the impression of the Holy Spirit upon the message, the series that I have over the next few weeks. And it basically is the power, the potential, and the possibility in the words that you speak. What you say has influence and it has power. Even more so, what you say under the power and the influence through God using your words has immense, immense power. You ever realize, and maybe you don't know this, that it takes 72 different muscles to produce speech. So even as I am speaking right now, I'm burning calories by talking to you 72 different muscles. And if I was Italian, it would be 82, because of course you got to use your hands and everything when you speak or something. Any Italians with us? My wife was in the first service, and so now I have to pay the price for mentioning her in the service when I go home for lunch. But isn't that incredible? All of these things that are in place, and so not only that, 6,000 words is what a person averagely says in a day. Now there's some who are a lot less, there's some who are a lot more. But they're saying the average is 16,000 words in a day. Now calculate that over a whole lifetime, and the average lifetime, a person will give a whopping 860.3 million words in a lifetime. All those verbs, adjectives, sentences say something about your life and the condition of your heart. Think about that for a second. What you say has a lot to do with you. Not only the big words, but the small words. There's a social scientist, his name's James Pennebaker. He wrote a book called The Secret of Pronouns. And he said, you know what, there is something, as he's done tests and he's talking and as he's gone through speeches and everything, he realized that there's not just a whole lot with all the big words, but he's saying, you know what, there are certain things which are called stealth words, that you will learn more about you through the pronouns that you use. And the prepositions, the twos, the fours, the over, they broadcast the kind of people that we are. That the words we generate over a lifetime are like fingerprints, is basically what he says. He says there's these stealth words, and you don't recognize them because you say them so regularly, but they give insight into the type of person that you are. We randomly choose our words. Instead, our words reveal the condition of our hearts. Well, I could have told him that the Bible says that, but I'll let him continue on with what he's wanting to say. He says, powerful tools, the words are powerful tools to excavate people's thoughts, feelings, motivations, and connections. And you can go to the website, secretlifeofpronouns.com, and you can write in whatever speech or whatever you have, and it will dictate. It'll tell something about your personality. Kind of interesting, don't you think? But here's the thing. Is that me? I'm a ventriloquist. Your words will draw a picture. You know, you've heard the statement that says a picture is worth 1,000 words. But the truth of the matter is, you begin to speak, as you begin to articulate, there is a picture which is drawn, and words will dictate how people perceive you, and words will largely define you, and words will affirm, and words will prevent, and words are used to build up, and words are used to tear down, and words are used to create things, and words are used to innovate. Words will leave a mark. They'll leave an indelible impression. And if I were to interview all of you here today, and if I were to ask this question, do you remember words that someone may have said to you, whether encouraging or discouraging, from over 20 years ago? Chances are, if you're over 20, of course, that you'll say yes. I remember someone said something to me. Even as parenting, there's a statement that I came across that says, words of your parents will either hurt you or they will hold you. That your parenting will leave a one-sentence statement that your kids will spend the rest of their lives either affirming or running away from. Let me say that again. that in parenting you will leave a one-sentence statement that your kids will spend the rest of their lives affirming or running away from. The question I asked myself is, what was that statement? What's the statement that I have left with my kids that hopefully they will be affirming and hopefully not running away from? What's that one statement that my dad or my mom put stamped on my life that I say, yeah, I agree with that. I'm going to affirm that. Or they're going to say, you know, I disagree with that. I'm going to live my life proving them wrong. Interesting, isn't it? Words will reveal your heart. Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And your words will inspire you. And the thing is, other people's words will inspire you. And the things that you will say hopefully will inspire other people. They will somehow work to influence you. The amount of words sometimes don't matter. Sometimes it's less words that make a difference. In truth, you will live and you will die by your words. Let's not think about just spoken words. We'll talk about written words. We'll talk about the fact that over the last 20 years, the use of words has increased tremendously. Used to be you could either talk with someone personally on the phone or write them a letter. Well, now we have social media, and now we have texts, and now we have tablets, and now we have computers, and we have so many different ways to communicate things that it's hard to keep up, isn't it? I know that I have been told by a wise man that if you have anything that is kind of difficult to say to someone, then you just tell them. Because if you write it to them, they'll read it over and over and over again. But if you have something good to say, something positive, something encouraging, something that breathes life into them, make sure you write it down. Because again, they will read it over and over and over again. And I got to come to the fact that sometimes the person that speaks on the computer is different than the person who really is. You ever notice that? That the online person that speaks is different than the personality that is there sometimes in person. Kind of strange. You will live and you will die by your words. They are so important. Now, if all of a sudden I was to be arrested, if Pastor Charles were to be arrested for lying and bearing false witness, that I would have somebody's car towed if they were in my parking spot. They would go up to him and they would say, Pastor Charles, you're under arrest. Everything you say may and will be used against you in what? A court of law. Your words will be used against you. But if you take a look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, it says this, that for every idle word man may say, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This isn't just a biblical concept. In business, they talk about the power of your words. In leadership development, they talk about the power of your words. Motivational speakers will talk about the power of your words. One of the best seminars I want on leadership was a thing called Crucial Conversations. It's about the fact that you need to know what to say and how to say what you say. It is important because words are a powerful thing. And if our words are potentially powerful, what does that mean about the Word of God? If there's a potential power in what we say, how much more relevant is it if it is the Word of God? That's why 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed, is inspirational. It is something we need to stop and listen to when we hear the Word of God. And in the midst of a pandemic where people are hurting and people are confused, you know what we need? We need words of life. We need words that are somehow going to produce life in people. See, just trying to say this. Words aren't just important, they are huge. Chances are you can remember times when words have moved you. When Martin Luther King gave the speech, I Have a Dream, he moved a nation. And we're in the midst of a time where we're taking a look at the importance of words. But here's the difference. Here's the difference between what the world thinks and what we think. I believe that there's an added power to words. I believe that words not only should inspire, I believe that they should breathe life through the Holy Spirit. When I prepare a Sunday morning service, my goal is not to inspire you, but to say something which is inspired. There's a big difference between the one and the other. And folks, I hope that you leave inspired. I hope that you leave moved by the touch of the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, I just don't want to give good words. I want to give God words. We're living in a time when we don't just need to hear good words. We're living in a time when we need to hear God words injected by the Holy Spirit as we passionately follow him, as we give him all of our lives, as we walk in the Spirit, that God interjects his truth in his life, words of life somehow. And I don't want these words to end just at a pulpit. I want to go home and I want those words of life to be in my home, and I want those words of life to be in the hospital, and I want the words of life to go flow through me in the hospitals or wherever else I might be, that God might be able to somehow work and move in my life. So as I've taken a look at the scriptures, I find that there are three powerful passages of scripture, and I want to talk about the first one, which is found in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. I know that I've always used it when I'm giving a message on encouragement. And this is what it says. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What a powerful passage of scripture to describe it. But this message is a lot more than encouragement. If all you hear, if you leave this place this morning and someone says, so what was the message about? And you say encouragement, then you have missed the gist of everything I want to say. I want to talk about encouragement injected with the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you give me a couple minutes just to kind of hone in on this whole subject. I think first of all, it talks about the potential of your words. Kind of hard to not mention that the tongue has the power of life and death. The words that are said with the authority of God mean great things. Here's the thing, you might have words that have great power, but words under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit have unlimited power. Stop to consider that. What we think about in Scripture. If you have people say, listen, the Bible is just a bunch of men talking, women talking in the Bible. That's all it is. Well, no, we don't believe that. Because 2 Peter chapter 1 says this, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture comes from its own interpretation. For no prophecy has ever been brought about through human initiative. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We believe that people just didn't write it down. They wrote it down as the Holy Spirit was whispering in their ear. May have used their own personalities, but the Word of God comes because God had injected the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that replaces the Word of God or ever will replace the Word of God. But have you ever thought that the concept still remains for those of us who are born again, passionately following Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, that there is something deeper. There is an inspiration that comes when we're following him. Words of life. I remember just this week, I celebrated my daughter's, I believe it's her third anniversary. And so being a pastor, I have lots of minister friends. I have minister friends who I grew up with before we were ministers, and so they have a choice. So one of the questions I asked my daughter is, who do you want to do your wedding? And she said, my friend Luch. And we've had Luch. He spoke here once, I think a year or two ago. And I knew that she was going to say his name because there was something that had happened in her life when she was young. Being a 13-year-old at the time, being in a church trying to struggle with her identity, trying to figure God out in the midst of all this, and really not having a lot of support from friends who are trying to figure themselves out. I remember she was at a youth convention. There's about 1,200 teenagers that are there, and Nush was one of the speakers at the event. And so in the foyer common area afterwards, they're kind of sitting and talking, and Kayla, while she was with all of her friends, has Nush, this one of these main speakers, said, Kayla, how are you? How are things going? And he begins to speak things into her life. And here this 13-year-old girl who is struggling with all of these things in her life, all of a sudden has one of the main speakers, and all these friends of hers are saying, hey, you know the guy, you know the speaker, all this. And so what happens is, when it comes time for her to get married, what do you want? Luch. So as I was walking down the aisle and I got my daughter on my side, it's one of those moments, it really is a special moment. I see Luch there and I begin to think about that one instance where the Holy Spirit took the words that he said and built life in her to minister to her life. Words of life. The church went ahead on encouragement. But you know what? I believe that it went ahead more on encouragement than it was the fact that people in tune with the Holy Spirit followed that cue. And not only did they have encouragement, they have what I'll call inspired encouragement. There's a difference between encouragement and inspired encouragement. Inspired encouragement comes as a fact that the Holy Spirit works through the individual to build life. There's a lady in the church that I used to pastor, and I think she was in her mid-80s. And basically, her gift was this: I'm going to pray that God is somehow going to use me to encourage. I can't get out. I can't get around. So what she did is she began to pray, God, who can I encourage? God, what is there that I can do? And so she began. She had a big, long list of people that she called. A lot of them were youth. A lot of them were just people that you would not even think of. She just regularly called them up, spoke words into their life. And when she passed away about a year ago, the church has a hole in it that it can't fill in, because how can you fill a hole like that? Interjecting words of life. We speak prophetic words. What are prophetic words? Well, they're words used by the Holy Spirit to somehow inject life into the life of the body. They breathe in us. I remember as a youth pastor here about 25 years ago, being at a convention, a winter retreat, and as I was praying, I sat there and Stephen Mitchell, who is part of our staff, part of Devoted Ministries, who created Devoted Ministries, which goes to minister, I said, Stephen, have you ever considered the thought that maybe God might be using you for something greater? God might be using you in full-time ministry. He says, I took that and I went to Bible college, and now all of a sudden all these kids who get ministered to, and now I'm stuck with them. Can't say anything other than that. You know, I kind of was the one who said something. I didn't even realize at the time that that was said, but the Holy Spirit somehow injects power in it. I remember when I was at General Conference feeling, I am not like these people. I don't really know what to do. And what happens is a friend of mine said there, and there's a person that he said, there goes a mighty man of God. And I'm thinking, who, me, what? You got to be kidding. Just like was mentioned to Gideon, there goes a mighty man of God. I'm not that. Well, you know, there's times when all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will interject truth into the life of an individual, even though they may not see it themselves. Do you realize that you have this gift of mercy? I see it every single day in your life, and God is using it. And every time I see you go and welcome people, and every time I see you get out of the car and help other people, that gift is so evident in your life, and perhaps you don't even see it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to speak those words of life into you, interjected by the Holy Spirit. How about words of prayer? Times where you're at an altar and all of a sudden God begins to take over and God moves and you begin to speak things into that life that you didn't even realize. Or maybe it happens in a master's mom's meeting. Or maybe it happens in a youth meeting. Or maybe it happens at a family altar where God all of a sudden supernaturally begins to breathe life. You know, the statement is made, for every bad thing that is said about you, you need to have four good things to kind of even it out. And that might be true, but I believe that every one thing inspired by the Holy Spirit has the potential to change a life. So what are you saying? Well, I'm saying that the words of life have a lot more than just saying good things. And if you're saying good things, then you should do that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't encourage people to do good things. But there's something that happens when all of a sudden God takes over and uses those words to produce life. The potential of your words. Words said with the authority of God. What about the preciseness of our words? Not only said with the authority of God, but said with the sensitivity of God. Sometimes I think the problem is not getting the word of God. I think the problem is delivering the word of God. It's not what you say, but it is how you say it. What is the spirit with which you are saying it? It's not the fact that you might be right, but the fact that the way that you are saying it, that you're not delivering it with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is never, ever received, never gets to the objection area that you want it to be. Just because you have something doesn't mean it will be received. And words of life are delivered with concern and with consideration and with the power of Christ. You ever read the book of 1 Corinthians? Ever read what Paul is trying to do in the book of Corinthians? He basically says this. He says, you guys know everything about the gifts of the Spirit, but you know absolutely nothing about the fruit of the Spirit. Because the one works in conjunction with the other. And if the gifts of the Spirit are evident and the fruit of the Spirit is not there, then the gifts never get to the destination where they need to be. And that's why he talks about the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12. And he talks about the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 14. And he talks about love in chapter 13. That there's something about the delivery, that God is just as much in the delivery, that we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, as it says in Matthew 10, verse 16. The preciseness, the sensitivity of God. What about the placement? What about the timing of God? God speaks, we speak words with the authority and with the sensitivity, but I believe that somehow God works. There's something, as Proverbs says, about a timely word. You know the best time to give words of life is when you're dying. Makes sense, doesn't it? The times when words of life have meant the most to me have been times when I have said, I'm giving up on ministry. Perhaps I'm giving up on this relationship. I'm giving up on this calling. I'm giving up on this faith. And just in the midst of that, just when you're just saying, God, I have had it, and you're swimming in a sea of discouragement, and you're swimming in a sea of disillusionment, all of a sudden a friend or a person comes, and he says these words that somehow breathe life back into you. It's like a life preserver which is thrown out to you, and you hang on to those words that somehow God has given through someone else to make a difference somehow, some way in our life. You know, you've heard stories. If you've been in the church any length of time, there's probably been a testimony or time where they said, you know what, I didn't have enough money for this bill. I didn't have enough money, and I just prayed that God would provide, and I didn't even realize. And somehow, magically, someone under the direction of the Holy Spirit hands an envelope to you. Wave at me if you've kind of heard that story. It probably has happened to all of us at one point. Can that not happen with words? A timely word. Somehow, in some way, God ministering, directing, and you just don't know the ramifications when God speaks through life at the right time. My very first pastor when I got into ministry, his name is Jack McCallum, has gone to be with the Lord. Great man. He was Irish. So whenever he came into my office, he'd kind of have that Irish accent, and he would kind of always interject things. And I remember him telling me his testimony of how he was a teen in Ireland. And he was at the point where he says, I wasn't asking questions about whether I should serve the Lord. He says, I was at the point where I just didn't want to. I no longer wanted to serve Jesus. And so he got himself in with the wrong crowd. And in Ireland, I guess they didn't have horse races. They basically had the greyhound races. They would race dogs, and he wanted to go. And he got in the habit of going to the dog races. And he had a godly grandmother. Began to see what was going on in his life, and he was supposed to go to some type of spiritual event. I'm not too sure whether it was a service or a rally or whatever. And he decides to sneak out, and his grandma catches him. He says, Jackie, why don't you sit down? I need to talk to you. Here he was going to the greyhound races to do whatever gambling. She says, Jackie, why don't you sit down? Will you listen to me? Jackie, you're going to the dogs. So he said, you're going to the dogs. And I don't know what it was about that statement, but all of a sudden God began to melt his heart. And I'm not too sure I'm positive that his grandmother didn't know that he was going to the dogs, but she knew that he was going to the dogs. So what happens is he decides to turn his life around for God, and goes into ministry, comes to Canada. There are two large churches in the Toronto area that were planted by him. Hundreds of people go every week to those churches. And stop and think. Can you imagine that? You know, just some words that were given at the right time when someone needed them have caused God to be able to change a life who in turn has changed lives. So the sermon is not just about encouragement. It goes a lot deeper than that. I'm convinced to my core that there is a power in your words. I believe that your words will break bondages. I believe that your words will break strongholds. But I believe that your words need to be energized by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit as we intimately follow Jesus, as we walk in the Spirit. Have you ever wondered, when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the initial physical evidence that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit is that you begin to speak in tongues? It's the last thing that gets controlled. But I believe it is the most powerful entity that we have when it is given totally and completely to God. I believe that this power needs to come out during the pandemic. I believe that God wants to use your words. See, your tongue is telling a story. What is the story that it's telling? Usually I start with a video. I wanted to end with a video because I believe it is so powerful. And so perhaps this kind of can be a continuation. So I'm going to end with this video, and then next week I'm going to start with the same video because I think God wants to say something deep and something full. So kind of bear with me as we show this video at this time. It's called Words.
You don't have a ton of things in common with God, but there is one thing. You speak. So does he. God spoke light into existence with his words. I wonder what you could speak into existence with your words this week. I wonder what kind of love you could speak into your marriage that feels like it's in neutral. I wonder what kind of courage you could speak into the heart of a child who's hurting. I wonder what kind of peace you could speak into your broken friendship. What kind of hope you could speak into your own weary soul. I want you to know that the most powerful words you're going to speak this week is probably not going to be on a stage or a conference call or closing the deal with a client that you want. The most powerful words you're going to speak is probably just with one or two people listening, maybe zero. It's totally possible that the most powerful sentence you'll say this week is a thoughtful text message that you send to a friend who's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's the apology email that you finally get the courage to send. It's the whispered prayers through tears in the middle of a dark night. Powerful words aren't just for preachers who stand behind pulpits. They're for parents who stand next to bunk beds. Speak life to your kids. For spouses who share hopes and dreams. Pillow talk, not criticism. For teenagers who stand up to bullies, stand up for the uncool kids. Your tongue is so small, but so powerful. Your tongue is telling a story.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.